I'm Elizabeth Reese.
I'm Marjorie Punnett.
And this is Best to the Nest, the podcast that is all about creating happy, healthy, beautiful nests that prepare us to fly. Marjorie, this is very fun to talk to you today. And we are talking about a big topic.
What do you got for me?
Anxiety.
Oh, yeah.
Anxiety. Talk about something that can... like something that can just suck the soul out of the fun is anxiety. You know, it's fascinating when you start to talk about anxiety with people, how many people deal with anxiety and how many women.
I wonder if it's more women than men.
I would think so.
Or do we just do it differently?
We might do it differently, yeah.
I spent a lot of time being anxious. I wish I could get that time back.
You know, I remember being the most anxious I've ever been. And the thing that really like was ding, 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 this is not normal to me, was my comparison of my experience of having my first baby to having my second baby.
Oh, that's interesting.
I'm not a super anxious person by nature.
Right.
But I definitely have periods of anxiety. And I remember being pregnant with Bernie. And this was when we were living in our little tiny house. And I would go to bed early because I was so tired. And my husband would be up, I don't know, probably watching Game of Thrones or something. Like right outside the door.
I mean, living a normal life.
Right there. And I remember that I would lay there pregnant and my mind would start to think, okay, so if he leaves, this is how I'll do it by myself. I'll have to do this and this, and I will have to arrange it. And I probably won't be able to afford that daycare, but maybe my mom would help me or this and all of that.
Wow.
I mean, this is where my mind was going. I just want everyone to be aware that there was 100% not a single indication from Jay that he was going anywhere.
He was walking out the door.
I mean, he was sitting out. He was maybe getting up to go get a beer, but that was it. I mean, there
Doesn't that speak to who you are in that you always have to feel like you're going to be okay?
Yeah.
Because we've talked about this, that you're super independent and that you need to know, I can do this.
It's like the survival and the anxiety.
Wow.
And then I remember after having Bernie, I gave birth to Bernie and brought her home. And then Jay went back to work. She was born in January. And every day at about 3:45 or 4 o'clock when it would start to get dark, because in Minnesota, folks, it gets dark early in the winter.
At noon.
I would start to feel like the stress and the anxiety in my chest. And I would start to like text him and call him and be like, when are you coming home? How late are you going to be there? When are you getting on the road? Because the nights were so long and I was so anxious about them. And then I also remember I was ordering tons of stuff from Amazon because I'd be like, this pacifier doesn't work. We'll order another one. I mean, whatever. I need another swaddle.
This is fascinating.
I would order stuff from Amazon. And I distinctly remember, Marjorie, having the thought before I went to bed one night that I've been ordering all this stuff from Amazon and they come and they ring the doorbell and I just open the door and I get the package. I have to remember to look out the window. I need to look out the window to make sure that it's the Amazon person, not someone who's going to kick in the door and take the baby from me. And I was reminding myself, like, look out the window. Make sure you look out the window. Make sure you look out the window. Okay, so then fast forward a couple years later, I have another baby. And I did not have any of those anxiety experiences whatsoever. We would
look
go for walks and have great time. I mean, it was still hard and I was still tired and it was still like in pain and all those things. But that's when the light bulb went off where I was like, that was anxiety. That was not normal.
Yes. We didn't need 20 pacifiers.
That was not normal. Right.
No, but that's so interesting because what that is, if you look back at it and you can, now that you have sort of an A-B comparison, you can look back at how your psyche was trying to adapt to the idea that you were going to be responsible for another human being at the level that you feel the responsibility to yourself.
For sure.
Oh, that's really interesting. But oh my God, that must have been hard.
It was hard. And when you were an anxious person. I never would have thought of you as being an anxious
person.
Here's
where the anxiety. Well, it's very particular, like with you. It was that scenario. That's what made you anxious. For me, I would have to say my anxiety as the kids got older was knowing where they were.
Yeah.
All the time. And this
I bet they love that. Especially for you, because you were a freewheeler when you were a young pup. You were running the city of Chicago. I mean, you were running
And that's probably a part of, as strange as that seems, is because I was sort of a, when I say wild thing, that means it, that makes it sound like I was doing bad things. I was such a little type A.
Yeah,
I
you
wasn't.
Were independent.
I was very independent and we were allowed to be that way. I was the youngest of four. I was out in the city by myself at a very young age. I mean, I can remember taking the bus downtown in downtown Chicago at like 9. by myself.
That's, yeah, wow.
And so I just think that with my children, I was always hyper aware of where they were, didn't love for them to go too far from home. Once they started driving, I would need them to sort of check in. And here's where that anxiety played out. And this is sort of hard to admit, but my son said, because now they're grown, and he said, you know, that was hard for us because we love you. And we knew that if we didn't check in, that it would make you nervous. So we were always very mindful of that. But he said, Mom, you've got to know, like, there were times where it just didn't even seem worth going out because I didn't want you to worry.
Oh, yeah.
And I hate that idea.
So that's,
I hate that idea.
You know, and that's really, I think, at the core of what anxiety takes from us, which is the joy and the ability to experience life.
Yep.
I mean, really, that's
exactly it.
That's what it takes from us. So our guest today is Senya May. I'm glad you admitted that, Marjorie. Really, that was brave and bold.
Yeah, it doesn't feel good. And you know, that will always be my perspective, I think, between the two of us, is I'm at the other end, so I can see with regret how my actions influenced my own children. And I have wonderful children.
Oh, yeah.
And they're very honest. But that's a hard thing to look back and think, I robbed them of something because they were trying to caretake me.
Yeah, that's a hard spot. That's why anxiety is such an important thing to talk about. So Senya May is our guest today. Senya, I have talked about on this podcast before because Senya is my godsend acupuncturist. Oh, Senya. Hello, darling.
Well, hello.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank you, guys.
Senya is such an angel of a person, Marjorie. I'm telling you, you come back to Minnesota, I'm going to book you an appointment with Senya right away, because Senya, it has such a beautiful, holistic view of health and wellness. She does segments with us on Twin Cities Live, and so she shares her knowledge there. And then I've become like a loyal Senya visitor. So
I am so excited about this conversation. I have never had acupuncture, but I 100% believe that it's all good.
It's all good.
So amazing.
So Senya, you and I were talking actually while I was getting acupuncture the other day, and we were talking about anxiety, and I did not know this about you because, you know, not only are you my acupuncturist and on the show, but we've become friends, and that you suffered from anxiety when we talk about like debilitating, like taking the joy from life. That's exactly what was happening to you. And this was long before you discovered acupuncture.
Absolutely. And it's really funny because when people see me, they think I look so calm and put together. And I'm like, you have no idea what I've been through to get to the point where I can feel relaxed most of the time, because I had horrific anxiety when I was in my early 20s. And it was so debilitating that when I would go to work, I'd be walking down the hall and people would be coming, you know, they'd be walking towards me, and I'd be like, do I say hi to this person? Do I ignore them? Do I turn and go the other way? Do I look at my folder in my hand? Like, what do I do? Every single person who walked by.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was like every minute of the day was filled with this overwhelming anxiety.
Of just the little things caused you to have those conversations. That would be exhausting.
Mm-hmm. It was. And I kind of know, like, it feels like something isn't right here. Maybe, you know, I had just started a new job. I was in corporate America. It was a really big shift for me, having come out of college. And so I'm like, well, I'll go see a therapist. And, you know, maybe there's some things I need to talk through. This just doesn't seem normal. I don't want to do medications yet, but like, let's talk to somebody. And so my therapist said, well, you know, I think you have you maybe have an adjustment disorder, and that's what's causing the anxiety, she said. I'm like, I don't know, it kind of seems a little more than that. So she said, well, write down every time during the day that you feel anxious and what triggers it, and then bring it back to me next week.
Oh,
and so
wow.
I did that, and I filled page after page of notes. And pretty much I was writing something down every 3 to 5 minutes.
No. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Even sitting at my desk, I would be super anxious. And I brought it back to her, and she, like, her face, like, She almost turned a little bit white. She's like, I don't think you just have an adjustment issue going on here. I think you have generalized anxiety disorder. So I was like, yeah, I think I do. That's why I'm here. Like, this is really, really bad. She's like, yes, we need to do something about this. This is not normal. You can't live like this.
Man. So then what happens, Senya, in terms of like, where do you go? Because, you know, I know for you, you didn't feel like you necessarily wanted to go on medication right away. Medication can be something that, you know, I think can be a touchy subject for some people. It is like a godsend, and it's so important, and it's so important to not have it be stigmatized. I had a friend just the other day talk to me about when she was on Lexapro, and she said, I just felt I felt even, but I felt nothing good. I like muted my whole life, and it muted everything. And so that wasn't the right thing for me. So is definitely something that is important as an option, but it's not the right thing for everybody.
Not at all. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, and thank goodness that there are those medications, because there's, like you said, they're a godsend for so many instances.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I'm one of those people, and even though I'm in holistic health, I think that all forms of medicine have their place. And sometimes you need the meds.
Right.
And you should go on the meds, and you should do them. But if you feel like there's something that you can do on your own, or you feel like maybe there's some changes you can make, and you want to do something else, well, that's where I come in. That's where I can, you know, that's where I help people. So
you started, you went to acupuncture then, right, Senya? And then that's when you started to be like, this is what I'm so passionate about?
Yeah, I kind of went on a journey. So I started doing yoga. I started dabbling in meditation, and I learned more about my diet and how that could be affecting me. And then eventually I ended up getting acupuncture as well. And I've been doing things for, you know, a few years at that point to try to get my anxiety under control. And when I started acupuncture, I remember I was sitting across the way from my practitioner, and my anxiety was so bad that I was sitting there and I was shaking. Like I was like physically shaking. You could actually see me like quivering in the chair. And she's like, okay, I think we need to have you lie down and let's get started.
Yeah, let's go.
Like, we don't need to talk a whole lot more. Let's just do this thing. And I think it's so amazing, because how can needles, like putting needles in you, relax you? Oh my gosh, it was unbelievable. She did a few key points to just kind of reset my nervous system. And it was the first time in ages that I felt like I was actually relaxed. I could actually calm down and take a deep breath. And so when I got off the table, I was like, wow, I feel so much better. This is amazing. This would be great if I could continue this. And I got in my car and I started driving, and I got a couple blocks away and I had to pull over. I was like, I just turned the corner, parked in front of somebody's house. And all of a sudden I just burst into tears, just burst out crying. And here I had so many transitions in the years at the end of college, and then starting a new job, and like all the things that were going on in my life. And I had just been holding on to them. They were just building up, and they just all finally came out. They all came out, and I bawled for like a half an hour in my car in some random person's front yard.
And
I felt so much better after that.
I'm going to just probably sound like an idiot, but did the acupuncture, was that just that triggered the release?
You know, I think what it did was that it calmed me down enough that I could actually feel the real feeling that was creating my anxiety.
Oh.
And our bodies store emotions. So if you've been through a lot of, you know, so if you've been through a lot of stress and a lot of trauma, because at that point it was turning into trauma for me, really.
Right.
I was having trouble getting through every day from the stress that I was going through. And that trauma gets stored in your cells. And there's books on this. There's a great book called Molecules of Emotion. It talks about how our cells will store emotions.
Oh, I believe it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that acupuncture does is it helps to release those emotions from yourself.
Wow.
And you can have a really huge, sometimes people call it a healing crisis. That's a kind of a dramatic word for it, but I mean, that's kind of what it felt like for me.
Right.
Other times it can be just a very gentle release where, you know, nothing really significant happened, like crying, but acupuncture can help to facilitate that.
So Senya, do you think, I mean, because what it sounds to me like what sometimes maybe is happening is you've got this trauma and it's like underlying, and then it manifests itself into the form of anxiety. And then it's like this vicious cycle where you're just operating at that high level. You've got all the trauma stuffed down without really understanding that all that stuffing has sort of raised your ground level. And so
it's kind of a new normal.
Yeah. And then your new normal is just like, I mean, you can just feel like when you talk about shaking or that nervous or like just being stressed about every single interaction. To me, when I hear that, it sounds like you're just vibrating at this super high level. And it's just like, da 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 da. And it's just exhausting. And that's how I can imagine how damaging that is for your body, because you're in like fight or flight adrenaline mode all the time.
Mm-hmm. Constantly.
Wow. So can I take you back to, because what I think is so wonderful about the story that you're telling is that you were listening to yourself. You were listening to your body enough to know, I don't have to live like this. And I think when Elizabeth talks about that new normal, so many people just keep going and think this is just what it's going to be. This is just what life's going to be. This is what it feels like. Of course, right. I feel anxious. I have children. I have a full-time job. I've got a husband or I don't have a husband or whatever your situation is. Mm-hmm. And I think people just sort of say, this is what it's supposed to feel like. And what I love about your story is at a young age, you kind of knew either it's not supposed to feel like this or I don't want it to feel like this. And right. I think that's really, really cool because I don't think a lot of people can do that at such a young age.
Yeah, I think I was very fortunate to recognize that because I was raised in a Finnish culture. So we're very stoic. You know, we keep it all inside and we are very strong and we can handle everything. And you can't see anything that's going on inside. And like that serves us very well. I can get a lot of things done. I'm a very effective person, even though I can get very bad news and then go on TV and have no problem being able to have a conversation. You guys get that.
Yeah, we get it.
Yes, we do.
But I just, you know, my husband was really great because he was the one who just said, you don't have to live like this. Mm. It doesn't have to be like this. What's going on? Is it your job? Is it, you know, if this is your job, quit your job. Like, just up and quit. Don't even figure something else out. Just quit today.
Yeah.
This is not worth it.
Mm-hmm. That's
great.
I had
a really supportive partner, very young, who was like, we don't need to live like this. I don't like this at all.
I think that's wonderful. And then when you went to therapy, what was the therapist's suggestion to you in terms of the general anxiety disorder? What was the therapist's solution?
Honestly, I don't really remember because she was in a position where she was just about to retire. And
right.
So I don't really feel like she was super invested in really helping me get the tools. We talked about some of the stresses in my life and, you know, it was talk therapy.
Yeah. Right.
And so I actually went and did hypnotherapy after that. And I found that to be even more effective for what I was dealing with. Because with hypnotherapy, you actually go back into your subconscious mind and you go back to those traumas that triggered you, like that are stored, and you
right.
go back and you heal them and release them.
Wow.
But then you're not like Elizabeth said, like when you have a lot of anxiety, your stress levels are 9 out of 10 all the time. And we want to bring that down to like a 1 or 2 out of 10 and like, okay, can bounce up to a 3 or 4 when a lot of things are going on, but we don't want it up in the red zone all the time.
Yeah. Because
right.
imagine, I just think
ugh.
It's such an interesting connection between the emotional and the physical, which I mean,
and
that's the thing that we separate so much in Western medicine that's so beautiful when you can integrate different parts of medicine into your life. I mean, I love what Senia says, that there's a place for all of it. If I'm in a farming accident and my arm is cut off, like, take me to the hospital.
Take me in.
Reattach that bad boy
please.
Now. I mean, and thank goodness. But
yeah.
when it comes to like those more kind of nuanced, like non-trauma, where it's a whole body thing, I mean, that's where Chinese medicine just gets it and just is, it's so important to bring it into your life. I want to know about the shift then, Senia, from when you were going to acupuncture to then when you decided, I'm going to be an acupuncturist, I'm going to go to China, I'm going to study, I'm going to do all these things.
Yeah, it was a long process. I pretty much figured out, I'll make the story short, but I pretty much figured out I needed to get out of corporate America. That was really the root of the problem for me. I really wanted to go into medicine, but my husband's a doctor and he was going through his residency at the time. And he said, hon, you cannot go to med school. It's going to kill me. I can't. Please find anything else but this, please. So I respected that. And when it came down to it, though, I, you know, my background is engineering, which is all about problem solving and finding the root of an issue.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to find a type of medicine where you're getting at the root of the issue.
Oh,
and
I
feel like the Asian medicines are really good at that. The Chinese medicine is great at that. Ayurveda, Indian medicine is really good at that. And even though, so this was way back in the early 2000s. And people still wanted the magic pill then. They really did.
Yeah, right.
Now it's not the case. It's been fascinating to see things change over the last 15 years since I entered the field. But I knew, I'm like, you know what? There are people out there who want to know how to heal themselves. And they want to know how to, you know, to avoid medications. And I just knew, I'm like, this is going to become huge. People are going to want this. They maybe don't want it right now, but 10 years from now, everybody's going to be hungry for it. And so I want to learn the best form of medicine that can help me bring that to as many people as possible. And I did tons of soul searching and did classes and talked to lots of people and practitioners. And I decided, you know, Chinese medicine was really the best fit for me. Signed a grad school and quit my job and became a student again.
So where did you study? You studied acupuncture itself.
So I have a degree in Oriental medicine. And actually here in Minnesota, there are a couple schools where you can get a degree. And they're very good programs. So I went to Northwestern Health Sciences University here in Minnesota. And after I graduated, I did do a fellowship as well in China.
Oh, my goodness.
It's amazing.
What's so great about the way you talk about it is just the idea that it fits who you are. I love that idea of being an engineer and then taking that and the way that your mind works to acupuncture. It makes complete sense. I mean, it's sort of brilliant, Sonia.
Even though on the surface, it sounds kind of odd, like engineering to acupuncture. Yeah. But then the way that Sonia describes it.
It's perfect.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, so, Marjorie, you're the first person who's ever told me that makes sense.
Like, what? Sonia, meet Marjorie.
Oh, my goodness.
There we go.
My goodness. So, Elizabeth, what brought you to Sonia?
Well, Sonia, so I have long... loved acupuncture. I had a girlfriend in college who would go to acupuncture. And so I started going in college. And then in Madison. And
That's great.
And then when I found an acupuncturist in Duluth who I would see at my first job, and then in Green Bay. So everywhere that I would go, I would find someone. And then Sonia and I connected through Twin Cities Live. And the first time she was on the show, I was just like, this woman is like an angel. So, I mean, my mom goes to see her. My sister goes to see her. I mean, we love Sonia so much. And now I'm really working on integrating acupuncture into more of like a wellness regimen. So Sonia started, maybe because I hassled her for a long time, this membership program, so that you basically, it's like a kind of like a subscription. And so you pay a monthly fee, and then you get, you know, whatever, there's different levels, and you can have, you know, a couple services or one service a month, and then you can tailor that to whatever you need to that month. Because I started realizing, like, I'm really lucky in that I have Sonia's cell phone number, so I can contact her in any time of day, which I'm sure she appreciates. But what I was doing is, like, I was doing kind of the same old thing that we always think about with medicine, where, like, I was using it as crisis medicine.
So it was emergency.
Exactly. So I would have a time where I'd be like, Sonia, like, I think I have a sinus infection coming on. I'm, like, a mess. My head hurts. I can't focus, you know. And I was like, can I come over to your house and get some Chinese herbs? And she would say yes. But that's not the way to do it. So
right.
I like to think of it as more of, like, every 6 to 8 weeks I go in to get my hair colored and cut.
Right.
This is what I do. I go to see Sonia, and I go in, and it's different things, different times. And I've done different services with her. Right now, we've been working on a digestive cleanse reset because I'd been feeling some major stomach stuff, and that's been helping. So it's just having that relationship with someone that then you make it part of your wellness routine, and then not necessarily just like, my arm got cut off. I've got to go in right now.
So what I love about that, it's sort of maintenance, so that your new normal isn't in the 8 and 9 reds.
Yes.
That your new normal is 1 or 2.
Yeah.
And you might spike up to 3 or 4. I love that you said that, Sonia, because I think for so many, and I'll just talk for myself, it's so many times in my life, you would get to that, you know, 7, 8, 9, and you were living there. And that really felt like that's how life was supposed to be. And it wasn't until, for whatever reason, you weren't there for a moment or two and you're like, oh, wait a second. I don't want that to be where I live all the time.
Yeah.
And I think so many of us, we feel like we have to live there. But Elizabeth, I think what makes you so smart is that you realize you don't want to be there. And that's going to be so beneficial to everybody around you, that you don't want to live there.
Well, I think
you would rather live in the 1 and the 2.
Yeah. And I think that helped even with my second pregnancy, because Sonia, I started seeing you after I'd had Bernie. And I remember going to see Sonia several times before I wanted to get pregnant with Franklin.
Right.
And we talked about it. And so Sonia doesn't say these things because of HIPAA. I will share my things that I went in and said, okay, I want to get pregnant. And we did, I did acupuncture. I think I went in to try to induce labor with Bernie. And then after, when I was getting pregnant with Franklin, it was like, let's do a few sessions to just get your body ready, get yourself in the right place. And I don't know. I mean, I think there was a multitude of things that helped, but I can certainly say that my pregnancy and birth experience with Franklin was a lot easier, even though it was, I had had a lot more going on because I still had another child.
So, Senya, what is happening when someone comes in to see you for acupuncture? And I'm getting the idea that you do much more than that with herbs and things.
Yeah.
But if somebody's coming in for acupuncture, what does that look like? And what is it actually doing to the body?
Well, when somebody first comes in, we actually do an assessment to figure out what their Chinese medicine diagnosis is. And I feel like that's an important step to talk about, because we want to look at say somebody's coming with an anxiety, we want to look at on a very, we go very in depth, but we can look on it, talk on a high level that we want to look for if they have an excess pattern or a deficiency pattern. And if those two different patterns, we'll treat them very differently.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, if somebody has an excess pattern, then usually their anxiety may not look like mine did. It might, like, excess patterns tend to be more like super stressed, super loud, angry, irritable, constantly wound up. For that, we'll do certain types of acupuncture. And if somebody has a deficiency pattern, which was more what I had, just like really jittery, low blood sugar, felt better if I took a nap, and, those yoga really helped me. With a deficiency pattern, then we'll do different things for that. And so the acupuncture on a very general level is going to calm your nervous system down. And so even though we're doing points in the arms and the legs and on the scalp, there's a connection to your central nervous system with acupuncture, that it settles your brain down. It resets your nervous system, and it calms it back down again.
Okay.
And then whatever their underlying pattern is that's creating it, then we'll do additional points for that. So if it's a super excess pattern, we want to clear heat and help to relieve the stress that they're feeling. If it's a deficiency pattern, we want to help to build their body back up and help it make more nutrients. We're looking at blood and yin usually. That's very common postpartum, is that you lose so much blood.
Yeah,
and you
right.
go through this marathon experience of giving birth, and you're so deficient afterwards. And so we have to build your body back up after that. So we'll do points on the body to help to stimulate your ability to renew clean blood.
Oh, I love that. I love what you said. Settle your brain down.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, my goodness.
That's what it feels like.
Elizabeth, what, if you don't mind me asking, what were you in the diagnosis? Excess or deficiency?
I think it's just shifted in different points, right, Senya?
Yeah.
I mean, because it's like a real evolution. I mean, we talk a lot about what's going on a lot. And we work on, like, a lot of food things with me, too, of, like, what feels good, what isn't working, that kind of stuff. But post-baby, she's totally right. I mean, there's a totally different view of postpartum care in Chinese medicine than there is in Western medicine. I mean, Western medicine, it's like, go home and then try to figure out how to breastfeed, and, like, best of luck to you. I mean, in Chinese medicine, there's, like, a full care routine that is about the village coming in to support the new mother and getting her
back together. Doesn't that seem healthy and as it should be?
It's incredible. So, Senya,
it's called the golden month.
The golden month.
What?
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah, the golden
what?
Month. You stay in bed. You bond with your baby. Your mother-in-law, your mother's over. They cook you food. They bring you the food. You don't leave the bedroom. You don't leave the house.
Okay, what the hell?
I know. What the hell is right?
What the hell?
I know.
Oh, my God.
There's no golden month here.
No.
How have we messed that up so royally in this country?
It's a major mess up.
Oh, I love that. Okay, Elizabeth, we may have a new mission.
We've got to get the golden month.
We have to spread the word, Senya.
I know. Maternity leave is one problem. The golden month is, like, the next level.
Oh, my goodness. I love that.
Let's talk about other ways that you encourage people to kind of deal with anxiety. Because, I mean, if you've got, like, a clinical level, that's one thing. But I think everybody can relate to that idea of just certain triggers or certain times in life where you're feeling that anxiety. And I think your perspective on exercise is really, really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Because everybody in America, not everybody, but it just seems like people believe that if you're exercising, that you should be a runner. Like, if you're not training for a marathon, then you're not doing enough.
Right.
I hang out in, but there's this intensity around exercise that doesn't actually make sense from a Chinese medicine perspective. And so if you're dealing with a lot of stress and anxiety, then the exercise you should do depends a little bit on what your pattern is. So if you have an excess pattern, then you should be doing those intense activities that you have to burn off steam.
Yeah.
You have to burn off that fire. So go for a run, go for a hard bike ride, like, pound it out, do CrossFit, work your body super hard, because you got to dissipate all of that stress. But what if you're super deficient? What if you just had a baby and you're exhausted and you're not sleeping very well? You should not be running. That's not a good idea.
Right.
Instead, you should be doing yoga or doing breathing exercises or simply going for a walk, because you just want to get your chi moving. You just want to help to dissipate the stress, but you don't want to wear yourself out at the same time because you're already worn out.
Mm-hmm.
And but for either of those types of exercise, there's a sweet spot for stress and anxiety. And I found that it's 45 minutes.
Yes.
And I feel like a lot of the research for heart disease is that, you know, half an hour of exercise a day. But I find for stress, there's something that happens biochemically when you exercise for 45 minutes that the endorphins really kick in then. And so whether that's walking for 45 minutes or doing a super hard run, it doesn't really matter. But if you do it for that amount of time, if you do that 3 or 4 days a week, it's going to bring that anxiety level from 7 or 8, can bring it down to a 3 or a 4 without having to do a whole lot more than that.
Isn't this good? Well, see, Marjorie, you're just falling in love with Senya. I knew this was going to happen.
I am in love with Senya. And what you're saying is such an important thing for women to hear. I cannot stress this enough, that the times in my life that were most stressful, I always knew that my go-to move, I mean, I've been in therapy and I've done, you know, other things too, but my go-to move first is exercise. And what you're giving women permission to do is to walk. Don't think that you have to go out and run, and because I know a lot of people don't, they don't make it their go-to move because it's too hard.
Yeah.
And they can't maintain it.
Well, and they find it drains them after. Like,
they're
you're not energized after. I mean, at this point in my life, if I did a 45-minute run, that's not energizing to me.
No.
That's depleting to me. And so that's even maybe, Senya, something that, like, even if you're not going to see an acupuncturist to figure out what your pattern is, just acknowledging how you feel after that workout. Mm-hmm. Like, if you feel more like, if you don't feel that like invigoration feeling, then that's the wrong workout.
Spot on, because that's what I tell people. I said, well, how do you feel after you do that really hard workout there? And they say, I feel exhausted for 24 hours.
Yeah.
Or in the case of anxiety, I feel super, super jittery for the next day or two.
Yeah.
Then you shouldn't do that. Nope, you need to take it down.
You've done yourself no favors then. And I think one of the most stressful times of my life, I was 49, and it was just really stressful for a multitude of reasons. And I was a runner. So I used to, my go-to move in sort of my 20s was just to start running again. And I just didn't have it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't maintain it. And so I just said, okay, I'm just going to start walking. And I would walk every night for an hour. And it changed everything in pretty quick order. It didn't change the circumstances around me, but it changed how I was dealing with them. And I'm so happy that you said this, because I think so many times women don't do anything because what they've gone to in the past, they don't have the energy to do. And this is so true after you've had children. I was always sort of admire the women that you'd see them out with the baby joggers, and it's like, okay, that's not me.
Yeah, that's not me.
I can't do that. But it's such a great thing to tell people, figure out what it is, whether it's yoga or just breathing exercises or meditation. But that is a first great go-to move. It really is. That's so, so important.
Food is another really important piece of this, Senya. And I want to make sure that we talk about this, because it's so easy to hear that, like, I mean, we hear it so much, like you're banging your head against the wall. Like, you need to eat a good diet filled with fruits and vegetables and eat a lot of fiber. Like, everything I look up, like, with a problem with my child, it's like, make sure they're getting enough fiber. I'm like, what? Okay. All right.
Stop with the fiber.
But what does that mean to you when you look at, like, holistic medicine and acupuncture and integrating foods specifically with the goal of helping to mitigate the symptoms of anxiety?
Well, I think we've done ourselves a huge disservice in the last 20 or 30 years, because I was raised on a low-fat diet.
Yeah.
And so basically everything you're eating all the time was sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's no wonder that I had horrific anxiety, because one of the things that can contribute to feeling stressed out is your blood sugar dropping. I mean, just think about when you get hangry, right? You're just like, I just need to eat something, and it's really unreasonable and difficult to deal with.
Yep.
Well, if that's happening multiple times a day because all you're eating is carbs, that's a really big problem. So, I mean, if you are eating just fruits and vegetables and rice, that's not good. because you're not able to keep your blood sugar stable.
Yeah.
You need to have that good fat in your diet. The avocados, the olives, the olive oil, the coconut oil. You need those as well as good, healthy protein to stabilize your blood sugar and keep your energy nice and steady all throughout the day. Then you're not having these ups and downs all the time where you feel anxious 3 or 4 times a day when your blood sugar drops.
I like that. That's really great because that's a focus on blood sugar and not just like cut this out or don't eat that or whatever.
Right.
It's keeping, because this is what we're talking about when it comes to anxiety, like keeping us an environment that's supportive of that even keel, that just like evenness that you want. That's where you find like that when you're even is when you can like look up and see the birds and and you know what I mean? And like hear children singing and like appreciate the wind on your face. I mean, it's only in those moments of peace and that even keel that you can experience those, which are like the greatest joys in life. Otherwise, you're missing it.
And I would say, too, it's the only time when you're even is that your responses are linear to what's actually happening around you.
Yes.
And we like that. That it's a rational response to what's happening around you
for
in times
sure.
of stress.
For sure.
You know, that's a huge thing. And I agree with you, Elizabeth. It's just so I don't like to think about food in that sense of making sure that I'm getting everything that I need. And so, Senya, my go-to move is just to shove it all in a blender in the morning and know that I've sort of covered it.
So, perfect. That's
so
great.
I now put avocado and garbanzo beans in my morning smoothie.
Yes.
Oh,
I just figure,
that's awesome.
Yeah, you can't taste. I mean, the avocado, as you both probably know, just makes it super creamy.
Super creamy.
And the garbanzo beans you can't taste, you know, and I feel like they're giving me something extra too.
But for it's
like,
sure.
For people who don't want to think about it, seriously, buy a blender and just shove it all in the morning and take care of it. Just start there.
Meditation is another thing that you think can be really helpful with anxiety. A lot of people talk about this. It's also, for some reason, like the hardest thing for people to do, to sit still and quiet for 15 minutes or whatever. And it
impossible.
Feels
impossible.
Yes. Okay. So what is your recommendation when it comes to meditation, Senya?
So a lot of the studies show that if you do 15 minutes every day, that makes a huge, huge difference in, you know, your blood pressure and kind of all of those health markers. But to me, the thought of sitting down and clearing my mind and not thinking about anything makes me more stressed out.
Yeah.
That sounds very hard. So I have the best life hack for that, and that is to listen to theta music. So theta music is a specific frequency of sound that mimics theta waves in your brain, which is what your brain goes into when you do that thought-clearing meditation. But here's the thing. You don't even have to pay attention to the music in order for it to work.
Oh, my God.
So you just play it in the background. So there'll be days where I'm rushing to get ready for work, and I'll just play it in my bathroom when I'm curling my hair. I'll just put on some theta music, and I just feel my shoulders drop.
Wow.
And my stomach comes unclenched, and I'm not paying attention to it at all. It just works with magic.
So can we search for theta music? Like, do you think like on Amazon Music and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can. And in iTunes and, because it's a new age type music, there's a lot of variation in like just types of sounds that people use. I'd actually like to recommend a composer. Her name is Kelly Howell. And I actually play her music in my clinic because everybody likes it. Because sometimes theta music can get a little bit new agey and weird.
Yeah.
I'm just to say that.
Yeah.
Hers, everybody seems to enjoy it. She has lots of different tracks. You can pick it based on what, you know, condition you want to work on and endorsement money for endorsing her. I just really like her music.
Kelly Howell. So
she's Kelly Howell. Yeah, she's really, really good.
Can you spell her last name? I'm taking notes.
H-O-W-E-L-L.
Okay, that's good. I'm taking notes too, and I start it so I can link it up on our social media. I'm trying to be better, guys. I'm going to make sure that I actually post this stuff.
Do you know how life-changing this is, perhaps, for everybody, but I know for me, is I keep trying to meditate. I really do. I'll do, you know, the guided meditations. It just has never become habit, which I think is what makes it important, is if you actually are doing it every day. It doesn't help if I do it once a month.
No.
But I love this idea. This
just
is
turning
amazing.
On this music. I know. This is it. This is a game changer.
This might be.
This is why I feel so good when I'm in Senya's clinic, because I didn't even know there was a specific person. I just like the music that's in there.
Okay, this is great.
Sleeping is the last thing that we'll talk about when it comes to recommendations to help with anxiety. And I mean, sleep is a big one. And Senya, people are thinking, I'm anxious. I can't sleep. How are you telling me that I'm supposed to sleep?
Exactly. And I really look closely at people's sleep because especially if you're deficient, you have to get enough sleep. The recommendation that I make is if you're deficient 8 to 9 hours, usually people who have this deficient type of anxiety or really jittery, they need a lot of sleep.
Yeah.
And maybe they're only getting 6 to 7. If you have the super excess type of stress, then, you know, you can often get away with 7 hours of sleep. But if you have that really deficient type, you need to be getting more sleep until your body has rebuilt itself,
yeah.
until it's more stronger and resilient. Maybe you don't have to do it forever, but, you know, doing that for a few months to build your reserves back up. Then you'll have a bunch more resilience.
One thing I've noticed, Xenia, since I've been seeing Marjorie Xenia a couple times a week now for the last few weeks as we've been kind of like working on some of this digestive stuff. I was having some serious tummy troubles, you guys.
Oh.
I mean, listen, I don't need to get TMI on you, but whatever. That's what was going on. But since I've been really diligent about some supplements and Xenia, I've really been incorporating more digestive enzymes too.
Ooh, nice.
And then being really consistent about my probiotics and taking like magnesium at night and things like that. And I have been finding that I'm waking up before my alarm all this week. It's been really great. And like today, I just woke up and then I was like, I'm awake and I'm kind of looking around. And then my alarm wasn't going to go off for another 15 minutes. And there is something then I think when you are at that point where your body starts to kind of like hum along and it's like, hey, I get it. Like you know, I'm going to acupuncture, so I've got the chi moving, I'm eating the right things, I'm just like keeping myself supplemented, that then your body, it's like easier to just say, now I got my rest, and it's like more efficient sleep than what I was getting before.
Isn't that amazing?
When you wake up then.
Yeah, I feel great when I wake up, and then I bike to work.
I think, which is amazing in and of itself, but I think it's interesting, the idea that what we can strive for is a body that's good with its own rhythm.
Yeah.
I think we fight it in so many different ways. And what you're experiencing, it sounds like, Elizabeth, is that you're in rhythm. Like it's all sort of clicking. And that's a good thing to strive for. And I honestly think for so many of us, we don't even think about it. We don't even think about how life can feel when you wake up before your alarm.
Yeah.
Like that
feels a lot better.
That's a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a small thing. That's a really big deal, Elizabeth, that you're waking up and you feel rested.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Xenia, you're a miracle worker. This is really fun, Xenia. We love talking to you. And there are so many more things that we can talk to Xenia about. I'm telling you, these guests that we have, Marjorie, we're stockpiling them because there are like, we could talk to Xenia about 100 more topics. It's fascinating. But I really felt like this was a great way to start because it just impacts so many people.
It does.
And the shift that reducing anxiety and stress in your life can make in your home is just paramount.
I think it's close to everything. I won't say it's everything, but it's close to everything.
Totally.
Hey, Xenia, can Elizabeth and I do like a couples acupuncture thing?
Absolutely.
For sure.
Whenever you're in town, you just let me know.
I love it. All right.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Well, Xenia, I'll see you on Monday, okay? I've got an appointment with you on Monday at 5, all right?
Wonderful.
All right. Thank you, Xenia.
You.
Have a great day.
Thanks, ladies. Thanks for having me on.
Yep, bye. Oh, gosh.
Oh, my God. Wouldn't that be funny?
I know. Super funny. We could totally do it.
Does it hurt?
No. Overall, it doesn't. But sometimes it does. Like sometimes she'll hit a point, and I like to be super upfront with this about, you know, for people.
Right.
That sometimes we'll hit a point and I'll be like, ow. And then she'll say it like one when I was just starting on this digestive one, she hit one. And I'm super vocal with Xenia, too, because I know her really well. So I'll be like, ow.
You don't swear, though, right?
No. But she'll go, oh, wow. That one was associated. That's a point that's really significantly associated with intestinal inflammation.
Oh.
So it's like, to me, sometimes when you hit a point where you feel like a reaction or like a woo, and it doesn't hurt for it the whole time. It'll just kind of hurt when it goes in for a second. And I'm talking like she'll sometimes do 25 needles in me. And it's like
so cool.
One or two that I have that reaction to. So it's a very small percentage of the overall experience. But to me, it's almost like, oh, my gosh, that's great, because we're hitting something that I needed to get going.
Right.
Like there's some there's some blockage there. There's some things that need to be moving. But
and then how long are you sitting? Like, how long are you there?
Usually
like,
an hour. Yeah, an hour. Wow. So you go in and then you kind of have a conversation. It kind of depends on your appointment. But for like my regular appointments now, since we're in a groove and she'll ask me kind of what's going on, how are things, blah, blah, blah. And then we'll chat for a few minutes and then I hop up on the table and then she'll put needles in and we'll kind of be talking about things. And right. then I do an acupuncture nap. So she leaves and you lay there.
Good.
Yeah, for about like 30 or 40 minutes, usually like 30 minutes with the needles in, with the music, and she puts like an eye pillow on my face.
Oh.
And then I just rest and then I pop back up. You know, and acupuncture, I mean, a lot more insurance companies are covering it. You know, I mean, you can use HSA dollars to pay for it. I mean, because I get it. I don't want this to sound like it's some sort of like elitist treatment. I think it's becoming so much more mainstream. I mean, my healthcare practitioner, my mainstream nurse practitioner when I was pregnant with Bernie recommended acupuncture that they did at my clinic. I just happened to already see Senya. So I would just encourage you to ask about it and think about it as an option instead of just always going to like, well, I'm just going to go to my doctor and say how it is and then get on whatever pill, which again, we've talked about this. I don't want any stigma with pills because it's so
important.
So important. And there should be no shame in taking those at all. But if you're experiencing it and you're feeling like this isn't the right thing, or I don't know, I'm feeling muted because of it, there might be another way too.
Right. And that's, I think, just loved talking to her because I think it's so important for us to acknowledge where we are. And I think that's the really great part about her story, is that acknowledgement of where she was and that she didn't want to live that way.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes when we're busy, it works to our disadvantage because we just, like we talked about already, we just hit this place where we say, this is our new normal. Yeah. And this is what I have to live with. And if this helps in any way for somebody to just take a step back and go, okay, what do I want my life to look like? And how do I want to really feel every day?
Mm-hmm.
It is one of the things I have always admired about you. Pretty much as soon as I started to get to know you, was that you live your life with such intention of wanting it to be a certain way and identifying that and then trying really hard to make it so. And it's just such a mature way to live and can be such a blessing to the people around you.
Oh, that's so
and
nice.
I just admire that in you.
Oh, it's great. Thank you. Sometimes my husband is probably like, do we have to do it this way?
Whatever.
Can it just be like kind of okay?
I did once
ask him, like, do you ever wish that you were married to someone who didn't just like push you so much?
All the time?
And he was
all
like, absolutely not.
Absolutely good not. Answer, Jay.
That was a good answer. Well, listen, I love this conversation. And the good news is, Marjorie, Best of the Nest just keeps on growing. And we are so grateful to all of you who are listening. And if you are enjoying this podcast, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. It really is meaningful when you listen. We see the numbers, we see it growing, and it is so exciting. And it just makes us want to continue having these conversations. Share it with a friend. We'd also love reviews on iTunes, especially if they're good. Mainly only if they're good.
You really do. That's self-aware. Don't talk to us if you don't like us.
That's the truth.
And please, 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 we do mean it. Reach out to us. You can find us both on Instagram at Best of the Nest or at eReese or at It's Me Marjorie 1. And of course, we're on Twitter and Facebook at Best of the Nest.
Love you, Marjorie Punnett.
Love you too.
Goodbye.
Bye.